I'm going to talk about today is building research capacity within community-based organizations and transforming that research capacity into organizational and social change. John Law, who is my partner in this, sends his regrets he could not be here, but he is a very important part of this. He's actually co-PI on the project. This is a research and training program that is funded by the Paso de Norte Foundation, the Center for Board of Health Research in El Paso, Texas, and the university side of this is Texas A&M School of Rural Public Health. The heart of this is really research and training, and so what we're working, what I'm going to be presenting today is year one of a project that we have finished, and now we're in the second iteration, but I'm going to be talking about the first year first. The key elements of this project are three CBOs, each with a research team, committed to at least participating in a year-long process of learning research and doing research. I'll put a lot of emphasis here on the idea of community-based organization. I'll call them CBOs for short, because our focus is really on the organizations as much, probably more so, than it is on the individual teams that come from those organizations. To develop research skills and design, implement research projects in their communities, that grows out of their communities, integrate into communities that results from the research that will bring about change, and then we have moved to having a university and a community-based co-PIs on this, and we also have three university faculty who are technical support members of the team for that particular kind of expertise. And you'll see this in a minute, why it's important I talk about it in those terms. The four-member teams from each of the CBOs is to be drawn from at least three of these levels or other levels as well. And again, my point here is that we are emphasizing the organization, and so we want to make sure that we're getting a cross-section of representation of the organization on the team that's going to be learning and doing research in their community. There are actually four stages to this. This is a 12-month project. Four stages to it. The first 4 months are focused on learning research skills, understanding the community-based participatory research protocol, and then developing their research design. So they're involved, while they're learning their research skills, they are also in terms involved in identifying and refining a research topic. And as we don't talk about hypotheses necessarily, we talk about research questions. And those are really key, and doing that is really key. Defining your research questions, identifying your community partners, and that's crucial too, because we get them started very early. If you think about this in terms of partnership, A&M and Paso de Norte Center for Board of Health Research is the first partnership. We have an MOA. Then the three CBOs become the next layer of partnership in this inverted pyramid that we're developing here. And then, of course, they go out and develop their partnerships as well. They then begin developing a rationale for their research, what we probably talk about from the university side as developing our lit review. Actually, the lit review would be in the next one, and our sort of conceptual framework. We don't necessarily talk about it in that way, because they have theories, conceptualizations of their own, and we really want those to come out in the process. Then they begin working on writing their research proposal, and actually, by the end of this four-month period, they have actually developed their research design, developed their research proposal, and they have prepared their IRB. Now, you'll see as we go here, I have 5 through 9. Actually, this stage, the first stage actually moves over into the second stage in some sense, because when you talk about IRBs, you're talking about a long-term process. So the development of the IRB starts in stage one, but it moves into stage two as well. Plus, they are also testing some of their instruments they have developed or that they've selected from already existing as they move into this second phase. Here they're putting it to work, what we call the implementation phase. First contacts, well, not necessarily first contacts, but continuing contacts with community sources. Getting all agreements and consents in places. We emphasize the idea of developing MOAs. We think that's a really good way to get people to understand what they're getting involved in. Completing the implementation plan, participating during this period, this six-month period. We have them involved in usually three, sometimes four mini workshops in which we talk about specific aspects of database development, database entering data, data analysis. We have one on writing, and we have one on developing how are you going to present these data once you've gotten your research, to whom are you going to present them, and how are you going to present them, because you have different audiences. I can talk about that more in a little bit. In the third stage, which is roughly months 10 and 11, they are really beginning to work the data. They've entered data by this time. They're working with the data, and they're beginning to talk about what they learned in the process. So they're thinking about analysis, doing the analysis, organizing the analysis, and deciding now, or at least beginning to decide, how do we want to present what we've learned, how do we want to integrate that back into the communities out of which the project grew. Final stage then is to actually finalize the formats, develop it, write up whatever, however they're going to do it. If they're going to do it in written form, if they're going to do it in oral form, however they're going to do it, they develop that presentation plan. They also think about other ways in which their research can be applied. And then at the very end, in the 12th month, we have a conference. And the way this worked the first year is that we sent out invitations to 150 community organizations around the southeast New Mexico and the El Paso area, and then Juarez is also part of this, and invited them to come to this conference where they were going to be presenting. We had about 100 people show up for it, and they had some wonderful presentations that they made on the research that they had done. It's both. It's the community, the team that has been working, plus their partners in the community. Yeah. And we did a neat thing there. We actually had a stakeholder brunch before the presentation, which was after lunch. We got the research teams to say, who are the five stakeholders that you'd like to get at the table and have a conversation with? We did that over lunch, and that was very effective because they began to develop some plans about how they were going to put the data, the results of their research into operations. I'm going to need to move through this fairly quickly. What I want to talk about here is the rationale for what we're trying to do. We're trying to build capacity within the structures of existing organizations because we want to build a certain amount of efficiency and therefore not dissipate their energies all outside the organization. That doesn't mean they're going to do all their research, but it means that they're going to have a better understanding of how to do research and how to partner with universities. Their focus is on organizational structure and development. We're wanting to institutionalize two things, understanding of how you do research and the language of research. Because one of the things for CBOs, which is just a barrier this high, is the language that researchers use. Now, you can change that language, but you can also begin to help the CBOs understand what that language means. We also are changing the meaning of expert. We're really making it more inclusive. The traditional is exclusive with the mono-specialized university experts. We're really trying to bring in, and it's not hard to do because there's an understanding of this within CBOs, that expertise is very multiple, and there are all sorts of ways to talk about it. There are really two kinds of power that we're really building here. The power within and the power to. This comes from a really interesting and very challenging article called Repoliticizing the Research Process. The power within is enabling organizations to believe in their own abilities. And what we do here is begin to develop a culture of inquiry within the community-based organization so they can begin to say, yeah, we are researchers too. Second thing we want to do is to build within the organization a power too. That is to build a kind of agency within the organization to be able to understand and do research. I'm going to have to go through this fairly quickly, but these are the three organizations that were a part of the first one. One of them was from the Youth Empowerment Agency in Otero County, New Mexico. They did a project on meth. Meth is a huge problem in New Mexico, and they did a really interesting study out of that. And these are some of the things. I'm just not going to have time to go through them. I have that sheet. You maybe can look at them, but they have been very productive. They've not only conducted their research, they've developed new coalitions. They're beginning to work with the schools to bring meth education and do research on that, evaluating that meth education. The second one was Quien Cuida a los Infantes. It is a Suarez organization. They were basically looking at what's happening with the changes that are going on, that infants are being left with unknown caretakers. And in Juarez and in the families in that community, that's problematic. It's problematic a lot of places, but they saw that. And then the last one is a study of student absenteeism. Started out basically as a Head Start or even Start project, but it involved stakeholders in the schools. It was a wonderful little project. Lessons learned quickly. Lessons learned, this is with regard to design. We changed our title because this title very much better catches what we're doing. So the second time around, we've changed this to building and transforming. Those are our key action words. Originally only had one PI, we now have two PIs. That should have happened from the beginning. It didn't, and now John and I are co-PIs and very much involved with some of the other teams who also are in some ways, if not co-PIs, at least they're in co-investigators with what we're doing. The first iteration, CBO selected, selected on the basis of sort of who we knew and who we could talk to. We did that because we didn't have the structure in place to do it another way. Second time around, what we've done is to develop an application process. Second time around, we had 10 applications, of which we accepted 4. Let's see. I know I'm getting short of time. Selection is, the technical support staff. That is a key element here because on every CBO team, CBPR is a collaboration between community and academy. And so every CBO team has a member who is not just somebody who's there to call or somebody who's consulting. That person is a member of the team. Let's see. Well, what we've begun to do now from the very get-go is to put a lot of emphasis on the organization, more so than we had done originally. This one is very interesting. Here we're talking about issues of lack of understanding of the importance of learning critical thinking. I can't go into this, but academics have a way of just really causing people to feel bad because we have learned to depersonalize our critical analysis, and it is just disruptive. It's terrible. That's where my co-BI has been really valuable for me because he's helped me understand that you can't do that, that you have to find other ways to do that, and that's been very helpful. Lack of emphasis on inclusion of CBO research capacity as integral part of the CBO program. Again, I've talked a little bit about that, trying to get it involved in the structure. And here, we're also now in the second iteration, we're developing a very formalized evaluation. We had a post-hoc evaluation the first time. This time, we're building it in. CBO barriers. This is a really important one that is very important. They come into this really excited about the and anticipating what the possibilities are, but very fearful. And we realize that early on. And that's important to work with so that you build that sense of confidence right from the get-go. It's absolutely essential. Busy schedules of CBOs, we all know that. Whether we're in the academy or whether we're in CBOs, we know how desperately short time is. So we're very careful to structure it so that they know exactly when we begin the process at the beginning of the year, what it is they're going to be doing, when, so on and so forth. This is the one I talked about, direct criticism. It's very, very important. Logical thinking. What we've discovered is obviously all of these team members know how to think logically, but when it comes to doing a systematic research project, it doesn't always translate well. One of the forms we found really valuable was logic modeling. That, even though it may be a little stilted the way we did it, it was very helpful. I'll just stop this. That's